So I want to, this is kind of the wrap-up message to the 40 days of community that we officially concluded last Sunday. So this is just sort of a summary message to kind of reconnect some things that were said during the 40 days. Guys, I don't have the thing in front of me, so if y'all could just put the title slide on there. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm sorry. It's not back here, so I'm not seeing it. Yeah. Why you need a family at Willow. Now, notice some of you who are English folks, you say, well, why didn't he capitalize family, you know, with the uppercase F? And it's because it's intentional, because we all need a lowercase family within our Willow family. Now, you're all a part of the Willow family, right? You're all a part of it, and praise God for that. But within this family, you need a family with a small f, and I'll get to what I'm talking about there. Go ahead and turn to the next slide, Danny, the one, yes, right there. Inside your worship guide, you have a little refrigerator magnet that has our theme that we've been talking about since May, into May, from friendly to family. And that's what we want to do. We want to move from just being a friendly church into a family, and what all that means. And one of the things that it means is that you have relationships with people. Here's what we know. Science tells us this. I mean, just research tells us this, is that children that are raised in healthy families, it's good to see you today, April Jones, on this fifth Sunday. Glad you're here. She's never with us. She's always upstairs with the kids. But anyway, well, here's what the science tells us. Research shows is that kids that are raised in healthy families do well, better physically. They do better emotionally. They do better relationally. They do better intellectually. They even do better financially as adults. Everything that if a kid is raised in a healthy family, just things just go a whole lot better for them in life. And the same is true spiritually. That is why you need a small family. I say a small F, a family here at Willow. As you look at examples in Scripture, what you'll see is that nearly every leader, as far as I can tell, had that kind of family, a small group of people around them that were encouraging them, that were holding them accountable, that were speaking life into them. For instance, Moses had Joshua. He had Aaron, he had Miriam, and there were several others, if we kind of read Scripture, that were in his life, that were encouraging him, praying for him, standing with him. Daniel had who? He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their Babylonian names. But these were people that were in his life, that encouraged him during hard times. We also see Jesus, right? Jesus had who? Come on, y'all help me out. He had the disciples. And not only the disciples, he had his mama. He had those. But he also had the disciples' families. He had their families in his life. If anybody could have done life without anyone, it would have been Jesus, right? Jesus could have said, "Hey, I don't need anybody else. It's just me. I'm enough." But he had to have these people in his life as a point of also of encouragement, but of course spreading the gospel as well. We consider David. David had his mighty men. I want you to turn in your Bibles to a very boring passage, all right? You want to turn to a boring passage of the Bible? Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Turn to Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. Romans 16, verses 1 through 16. This is a section of the Scriptures that you typically just read over. You come to and you think, boring is what you think. So what I want you to do is just look at Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, and you read it for yourself, okay? I'm not going to read it because there are too many hard names in that passage, and I would mess up on most of them. Briefly, don't just glance at it. All right, you got a sense of it right there? You get a sense of it, right? Now, how many of you have read through the Bible? Okay, you've read through the Bible, okay? When you come to this section, what do? You think, oh, good, it's something I won't have to read. I can just go through it real quick, right? It's one of those. It's a list. Who needs to read the list? But why is this list important? Because this was Paul's group in Rome. He's writing to the church at Rome, and these were the people he was intimately connected with. These weren't relatives. These were people that knew him, that stood with him. In fact, as you read some of it, Paul says to several of these, he said, and we even spent time in prison together. To one of these, he says in verse 13, "Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and would you please greet his dear mother, who has been a mother to me." He knew these people intimately. It wasn't like acquaintances or just sort of, you know, he was a traveling evangelist and met a few folks. No, he spent months, several years with these people. They were intimately connected with each other. You know how they did life back in the New Testament? Turn to Acts chapter 2. You want to see how they did church together? Turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and following. Talks about all the people that came to faith in Christ. In verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? And to fellowship. And to what? And to sharing in meals. It included the Lord's Supper. And you read on down. Just read the rest there. You can summarize it. It says in 44, they all met together in one place. They shared everything they had. Verse 46, they worshiped together. They met in homes. They shared meals. Do you get the sense of what it was like, what he was talking about? They didn't just show up at the same address Sunday after Sunday. 200 Willow Drive, that's where I go. That's my family. They didn't do that. They did come to a place weekly to worship, but they were also involved in each other's lives on a regular basis. They knew each other. They knew each other deeply and closely. So let me ask you this question. Who is your Willow family? Who is your Willow family? If you're part of this congregation, some of you may be visiting today, and that's fine. You're looking for a church home. We want you to be a part of this family. But who is your Willow family? And if you don't have a Willow family here, I mean, it may be outside this church body, and that's great. Who is that family? Who are you connected to in an intimate way that's praying for you, encouraging you, speaking life into you, maybe even saying some things directly to you, that where areas where you need to be corrected? You see, there was deep personal relationships that they had. Today, we all say, man, I'm just too busy. I got too much going on. There's too many things happening. I don't have time for that. Well, they did. What about you? As I was thinking about this topic, here's what I was thinking. Okay, who in the Bible did not have a good family? I mean, in the sense they weren't bonded to other believers. They weren't bonded to other people in an intimate way. I could think of two. And if you can think of others, let me know. I can think of Elijah, the prophet. As you read about Elijah the prophet, what you find out is Elijah thought he was the only one. I'm the only committed one here. In fact, he tells God, I'm the only prophet alive in Israel. I'm it. And God said, no, you're not. There's 7,000 others that are standing with me, okay? But that's what happens when you just do life by yourself. You end up thinking, I'm it. Or it's me and my family. We're it. That's us. We're the most committed. And God said, no, you're not. You see, when you stand by yourself, you end up kind of having a martyr complex. Look at me. I'm the only one serving God here. Nobody really cares. Nobody's really standing for the Lord like I am. The other thing about Elijah that you see is, man, he's pretty harsh with people. Now, I'm not saying, sometimes you got to be direct, okay? Direct's fine. Candor is good. Candor is king. That's fine. But man, I think sometimes you just had a lot of an attitude behind it. And that's what happened when you're not connected with people. You see this within Elijah, these kinds of things. Things like what he lacked, I believe, was perspective. He lacked perspective. He did not realize there were, in fact, when he says, I'm the only prophet, there were prophetic groups around him. But he didn't connect with them. We know that because Elisha came out of one of those prophetic communities. The man that followed Elijah, he came out of a prophetic community. There were groups of prophets. But somehow or another, Elijah said, I'm not hanging with those guys. Now I may get to heaven and get corrected about everything I'm about to say, okay, or I said here. But it looks to me like he wasn't connected with anybody based upon how he responded in his attitude towards others. The other person I thought of that didn't have family was King Saul. Now, he had a biological family, right? He had that biological family. But he did not have people in his life that were speaking life to him, that were correcting him. And when they did, he said, off with your head. I don't need you. I'm going to run you out of town. And so we see this unhealthy relationship with people. He just had yes men around him who were telling him things that he wanted to hear. So let me ask you again, who is your Willow family? Danny, if you could, go back to that first slide. Yeah, that. Who is that family? I'm not saying who do you know at Willow Drive. I'm not saying when you come to 200 Willow Drive on Sunday morning, who do you talk to? That's great. Talk to everybody. That's a good thing. But I'm saying, who is the group you're meeting with? Who are you talking to? Who are you receiving encouragement from? Who are you giving encouragement to? Whose prayer list are you on? Whose prayer list are you on? You see, I'm on a prayer list. I'm a prayer list of pastors that I meet with. I've been on that prayer list for 23 years. I meet with them on a regular basis. We pray and we encourage each other. And I couldn't do life without these guys because they get me, they understand me, and they speak to me. Whose prayer list are you on? Let me just talk about how God uses small groups in your life, how he uses those groups of people in your life. And so I sent out an email, okay, and I asked you, how have small groups helped you? How is throughout your life? And these can be study groups, they can be support groups, they can be service groups, ABFs, adult Bible fellowships, whatever. How have they helped you? And so I received some great, great stories. I love this. I can't read them all. There's too many of them. But let me just pick out a few here and highlight some things that they said. Camille Kasky said this: I have participated in ABFs, and they've been a real support system for me. They have given me a sense of security and belonging. And she went on to say some other things as well. One person said, it's in the small group, one of the small groups I was a part of, it was awesome to see God's word come alive to each person in different ways. So we all read the same verses. And so it was, they gleaned from each other. So Camille talks about support, and this person talks about growing from what other people are learning. Jennifer Barber writes, Bible study groups definitely played a part in my spiritual growth. They provided new perspectives, new insights, and it was a huge part of my knowing and understanding and spending time in his word. And then she goes down, and I wish I could read this whole thing. It is an incredible testimony of the power of a very personal group in her life. She went on to say about this group, our first one small group, that study they did was called Making Peace with Your Past. And although the workbook was good, what changed me was the transparency and vulnerability that the ladies in this group all shared with one another. And again, this is a great one. This is a very, very, very good one. Very powerful about what a group has meant for emotional, spiritual, and relational validation and support. Jeff McQueen talks about, Jeff, how long have you been a part of this group? Where are you, Jeff? How many years have you been a part? About 17 years a part of this group. This is great. He says about this group, it solidified my Christian beliefs and kept me on track on seeking God's plans for me and my family's life. And then Jerry Boyette back here, he talks about several groups he's been a part of, and talked about how they helped him with ministry development and expansion. He went, in most cases, it was about what we experienced, not always what was said. I like that. It was about what was experienced, not always what was said. It was a strong move of God's presence where he showed himself mighty and often. All of these things. And you could add more. You could add more to what groups have meant. And again, they can be prayer groups, support groups. They can be anything. But what these groups do in people's lives is they inspire, is they encourage, as they provide accountability. There's collective power. Man, when you're with a group of people, and especially as you're going after something, there is power in those meetings, and there's power in that time together. There's protection. There's perspective. Because I don't know about you, when it's just me, and I start thinking about stuff, I can go down a rabbit trail. Or I can go down to a deep hole and not get out of. But then when I have a brother or sister in Christ begin to speak to me, it gets me out of that place. So they provide perspective. So who is your group? Who's your family? Not who do you know, not who do you talk with, but who is your family? Jesus had a family. Daniel had a family. David had a family. Paul had a family. Who is yours? And let me tell you this, okay, y'all look, your biological family doesn't count. They can be a part of it, maybe, certainly should be, but your biological family doesn't count. Here's why. It's because your biological family puts up with stuff that other people won't put up with. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but they'll say, biological family, you know, we all have prejudice, we all have stuff in our life that we just assume nobody really challenges. But when you begin to talk to other people about that, all of a sudden they say, you know, why do you believe that? Where's that coming from? Why are you responding that way? The other thing about family is this. Sometimes family does not see the positive characteristics in your life that are there. They don't see it. But somebody outside the group, outside the family does. And the opposite is true. Sometimes, again, kind of like I said earlier, your family doesn't address the negative things in your life that others will address that are outside of your life. You may not receive the correction or even the encouragement needed just by your family alone. We all need different perspectives. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We all need different perspectives. That's what I love about my pastor's group. Is that my pastor's group, we all come to the Lord in different ways. I've got some that are very strong Calvinists in the past. Have been strong. That is, if you know what that means, I won't go into all that, but it's a different perspective. You've got some that are just kind of word-only guys. You've got some that are spirit-only guys. You got all of that together. You got different ethnicities. You need that because you need people from different perspectives. That's what I love, people at different ages. You see, let me tell you what happens when you don't have a faith family. You get lost, and sometimes people don't even notice. I have watched in every church, it's true of our church, it's true of every church, people, they'll come in enthusiastic, excited, maybe make a few connections, and then suddenly they dissipate. It just dissipates. What happens? It's like they've enjoyed the refreshment of being underneath the tree, the willow tree, but they never connected to the life of the willow tree. They enjoyed the freedom, the whatever it is. I enjoyed that, but since they never really connected to the life of the tree, eventually it dissipates. I want you to listen to this statement. You start off strong and it dissipates because you are not connected to the vine of God's life flowing through others at Willow. You're not connected to the vine of God's life flowing through others at Willow. God works in every different way. Amen. And one of the ways that he works is he works through other people. You got to be connected to those people. It's incomplete growth. How many of you like eggs and sausage? Eggs and sausage, guys? I do. I love eggs and sausage. That's awesome. I had some eggs and sausage this past week. How many of you could eat eggs and sausage every meal? Every meal. Like really, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the rest of your life, you could have it. Now, look at that. Way to go, okay? I would love to see, you could do that, Sergio? I'd love to see some pictures of that. Like every month, take a picture of you and see what happens after 2 or 3 years. See what happens. Nobody just eats eggs and sausage alone, right? I mean, you eat other things as well. Why? Because you need other kinds of nourishment. But some of us, when it comes spiritually, it's like, well, I got God, I've got his word, I've got a worship service, I've got my little praise worship time. And it's like all you're eating is eggs and sausage. And that's good, and I like it, but it ain't enough. And if all you do is eat that, you're going to have a problem one day, okay? You're not going to be the person you wanted to be. That's why you need other people in your life. You need nourishment coming from all kinds of sources. The other thing about what happens if you don't connect with a faith family is this. Listen, if you do not connect to a faith family is this, is that you fall by the wayside and nobody notices. You think they don't care. No, it's not that they don't care. It's just that you're not connected. They do care. I've seen that happen time and time. Well, they just don't care for me. No, they do care for you. It's just that you're not really connected to anybody. We were doing a case study during my squadron officer school training. And during that training, it told the story. It happened out here in Arizona of a platoon of Marines that were out on exercise in the desert. And so they had been doing these different exercises, and then they loaded everything up and went back to the main base. They realized that there was somebody missing. I don't remember his name. We'll just call him Sergeant Gonzalez. So Sergeant Gonzalez is missing. They didn't know he was missing for 3 days. And he had been out in that hot desert heat. When they went to go find him, he was dead. Now, nobody wanted him to die, but nobody checked on him. They kind of forgot about him. He wasn't connected. Accountability. You need that in your life. A lot of times we think about accountability, we think about somebody saying, you're wrong, you need to change. That may be a level of it, but really accountability is, how you doing? What's going on? I love you. How can I pray for you? That's loving accountability. It's what we all need in our lives. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
So who is your family that you're meeting with on a consistent basis? And listen, you can't be selective about it. You can't say, well, I love Jesus. I love you. I just don't like his disciples, okay? I like him. I just don't like them, okay? Can't do that. Sorry, doesn't work. If you take him, you got to take them. Amen?
Amen?
You do. All those sorry people sitting around, you got to take them. And let me tell you this. Social media doesn't count. Doesn't count. It's false community. It's false fellowship. It's a great way of transmitting information, a poor way of developing personal relations. And it's been proven, social science has shown this thing time and time again. It demonstrates the more involved you are in social media, the less happy you are with life, and the greater possibility of being depressed. You need eye contact with somebody sitting across from you and standing with you. So here's our plan. Here's our plan. Our plan by June of 2018, I know that's coming up, but June of 2019, we want 80% of all of our people involved in some kind of group, be it here at Willow or some kind of group, receiving the life of Christ through that group. We want people to be involved and actively in our adult Bible fellowships. Look, it's at 9:45 on Sunday morning. Find, if that works with your schedule, 9:45 on Sunday morning, find an adult Bible fellowship you fit into. Get connected to the vine. Get connected to other people. If that doesn't work, if you say, hey, we've got conflicts or whatever, we're going to be starting up small groups. Cody's sitting over here, Cody French. Cody French is taking some leadership of our, raise your hand, Cody. Cody has taken leadership of our men's ministry, some of our men's ministry, and so we're going to begin some men's group in the future. Got a men's night, November 19th, that Sunday at 5 o'clock. We want to get the men connected with each other. We're going to start some what we call encounter groups that will start sometime the first half of 2018. So we're going to begin for small groups that will meet on Wednesday nights or possibly on Sunday nights. In fact, we've got a group on that will start not tonight, but next Sunday night. And you'll hear about that in a moment as we play the announcements. But it be it a prayer group, a support group, a study group, there's some place that connects you to the life of Christ found in others. We're also going to be working on a calendaring system where we can push information to you to let you see of opportunities where you can connect with other believers. They're kind of like on-ramps. Be it special opportunities, special events, or be it, sports groups or just one-day activities, on-ramps where you can get connected with other believers. I don't want it to be said, you know, that you just came to big church and really couldn't connect with anybody else. We want to make sure that you are connected to the life of God that's found in relationships with other believers. These are things that we're going to press into. Your growth as a disciple, listen to me, I'm done after this. Your growth as a disciple is directly related to the depths of relationships or your depth of relationships with others. Your growth as a disciple is directly related to the depth of relationships with others. This is not an option. This is something you got to pursue. Amen? something you got to pursue. Amen. Let me close in prayer, and then we'll take up our offering, okay? Father, we bless you this day for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Father, for our earthly families, our biological families, and we also thank you for our church families. I pray that every person here today will connect themselves with a family of faith and grow and see how it accelerates their growth in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.